Hey, my friend, I'm so glad you're here. As we come face to face with 2026, there's a good chance you've been hearing things like work harder this year, hustle more, earn more money, and that big harvest of success will finally make you happy. I'm guessing you're setting goals for your health, your career, your finances, and those are good things, but I'm about to share an ancient piece of wisdom, something almost 3,000 years old, that reveals why the chase for more isn't the path to lasting joy, and what you can do instead to unlock the kind of fulfillment that all the money in the world could never buy. This isn't just another self-improvement hack. It's a promise tucked away in the scriptures, written by a king who knew what it was like to face total crisis. And in that process, he found something so much greater than his crown. Stick with me, because what he discovered is the key to transforming your entire approach to the new year. Welcome to Believe and Speak. I'm Shauna Marie Bryant, and as someone who has experienced the emptiness of the chase, I get it, that the turn of the calendar can feel like we're grading our own lives, right? We look at our bank accounts, our job titles, our stuff, and we ask ourselves, am I winning? Society screams that the path to a better life is paved with more. More money, more achievements, more status. So we make resolutions to get more because we believe it holds the good that we're all looking for. My friend, this feeling isn't new. In fact, it might be the oldest anxiety in the world. Thousands of years ago, a king named David heard this same restless question echoing among the people. It's recorded in the fourth Psalm, where David writes, "Many people say, 'Who will show us better times?' Let your face smile on us, Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe." Think about the question that many people were asking 3,000 years ago. Who will show us better times? It's still the cry of the human heart today, isn't it? It's what we feel when we're scrolling through social media, seeing someone else's vacation, someone else's promotion, someone else's perfect-looking family, and thinking, when is it my turn? What do I need to do to get or to become to finally feel that way? It's a question that looks out there for a solution. It assumes joy is a destination that we'll finally arrive at once all of our circumstances line up perfectly. We think happiness is on the other side of a bigger paycheck, a nicer house, or a smaller number on the scale. But friend, it's a trap. It's a game of if only. If only I get that raise, then I'll be happy. If only I lose the weight, then I'll feel beautiful. The problem is, even when we get what we want, the feeling doesn't last. The new car smell fades. The excitement of the promotion gives way to the stress of a new job. It's like we're running and running, chasing a feeling. And the moment we catch it, the finish line just moves further away. The better times we were promised feel every bit as distant as before. And this constant, unfulfilling chase leads to anxiety, stress, and that nagging feeling that no matter how much you have, something is still missing. So what's the alternative? The answer comes from the very man who wrote down the question that so many were asking back then, and still are asking today. Now, to understand King David's answer, you have to understand the kind of pressure that he was under. While scholars don't know the exact crisis that David was facing when he wrote Psalm 4, we do know that he'd been in a desperate situation more than once. This man had been a fugitive, running for his life, and at one point, his son Absalom staged a coup and forced David to flee his own capital city. Imagine that. Betrayed, slandered, his kingdom collapsing, sleeping in the wilderness, surrounded by danger. By any worldly measure, David's life in those moments wasn't in a good place. He had lost his power and his palace. The people around him could very well have asked the question in Psalm 4, looking for an external solution, a military victory, a change in their fortunes. They could easily have lamented, "Who can possibly show us any good in this mess? When will things ever get better?" But in that place of utter desperation, David didn't join a chorus of despair. He didn't look for an external fix. He had discovered a source of joy that couldn't be shaken by his circumstances, his title, or his financial instability. David had found something that couldn't be taken from him, even when everything else was stripped away. So, even as he hears and acknowledges the desperate cries from the people asking for better times, David hits pause. He pivots and he prays. But here's the thing. He doesn't ask for his kingdom back. He doesn't ask for his enemies to be defeated. He doesn't even mention his circumstances. Instead, he lifts a simple prayer. Again, it's recorded in Psalm 4. He says, "Let your face smile on us, Lord." You can pray that too, but first, you might need to believe and speak this declaration: God is pleased to smile on me. Oh, somebody needs to declare that with me. I want you to say this out loud, right where you are. God is pleased to smile on me. While the world is frantically asking the wrong question, who will show us better times? The person seeking greater joy makes a different request. God, just show me your face. Asking for better times is rooted in the idea that happiness is something you get from the world. It looks at your boss, your friendships, or the economy to give you well-being. But as we've seen, that's a recipe for endless anxiety because those things are always changing. David's prayer is a request for God's presence and his favor. In that ancient culture, a king's face turning toward you was a sign of honor and protection. To ask for God's face to smile on you is to ask for a conscious awareness of God's presence, his approval, and his love. It's a shift from seeking gifts from God's hand to seeking the gladness of God's face. And this brings us to the first point I want to make today. Why wait for better times when God offers you joy right now? True joy, David discovered, isn't found in the size of the harvest, but in the assurance of the Father's smile. And let me assure you, today's declaration is rock solid truth from the Bible. God is pleased to smile on me. If the idea of finding joy from God rather than pursuing more of the things of this world, if you're tired of the constant chase for more, then I want you to know that we explore these ancient truths for modern life every week. And I would love for us to keep growing together as part of this community. And I'd be so grateful if you would take a moment right now to click or tap the like button. Also, please subscribe if you haven't already and click that bell for notifications. Your engagement helps ensure more people can hear these messages about finding lasting joy and fulfillment. Now, when you make the shift from looking for better times to seeking after God, something profound happens. David reveals the result in Psalm 4, verse 7, where he declares, "You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine." Now, in his world, in David's world, an abundant harvest was the ultimate sign of success. It was the equivalent of a record-breaking bonus or a booming business. It was the better times everyone else was chasing. But David makes this shocking claim. The quiet internal joy that he got from God's presence was greater than the loud celebratory happiness of getting rich. He was done with the chase. I am too. How about you? Why pursue material gain when God offers lasting fulfillment? Now, I'm not saying that wealth is bad. I am saying that the joy it brings is shallow compared to the unshakable contentment that comes from deep connection with God. The joy of the harvest depends on a good season, on things outside of your control, but the joy of God's presence is available no matter what. David had it in the wilderness. He had that joy when he had nothing. He had it because he knew the truth in our declaration. God is pleased to smile on me. The joy and contentment God offers us leads to a radical sense of security. The psalm ends with David saying, "In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe." Wait, what? The man whose life is in danger, who's being hunted, who has lost so much, can lie down and sleep peacefully? Yes, because his security wasn't in his army or his palace walls. My friend, why toss and turn all night when God offers peace and safety? How many of us lose sleep over our finances, our careers, or our relationships? We toss and we turn, consumed by anxiety because our sense of safety is tied to our unstable circumstances. David teaches us that when our source of joy is God's presence, our source of peace is also God's presence. It is a peace that the world cannot give us. And the world cannot take it away. So, how do we apply the wisdom in Psalm 4, verses 6 through 8 to unlock more joy in the coming year? It comes down to embracing these three takeaways in our daily choices. First, why wait for better times when God offers joy right now? Stop postponing joy. It's available this very moment by seeking God's presence right where you are, no matter your circumstances. God has a way of either calming the storm or he calms us even as the storm rages around us. Second, why pursue material gain when God offers lasting fulfillment? Reprioritize your main goal. Instead of chasing a bigger harvest, let your primary ambition be to find that deep contentment that comes from knowing you have God's favor, that his face is smiling on you. And third, why toss and turn all night when God offers peace and safety? You can trade your anxiety for peace. True safety isn't found in your circumstances, but in God, allowing you to rest securely no matter the storm. My friend, you can be full of faith or full of doubt. You just have to be willing to ask like David did. Instead of starting the new year with a list of demands for God, what if we started by simply asking for him for His presence, His favor. Let's make this shift in perspective. Our first resolution. Let's make this our prayer. Lord, let Your face smile on me in 2026. Fill my heart with a joy greater than any harvest. I choose Your lasting fulfillment today. You know what? The world is going to keep telling you that joy is something that you can buy, earn, or achieve. It will sell you a bigger harvest as the key to happiness. But the secret that David discovered in his darkest hour is still true today. Lasting joy is not acquired from the outside, but it's discovered on the inside. It is the warmth of God's smiling face, a presence that brings a gladness greater than any worldly success, and a peace that can hold you through any trial. My friend, tonight, before you go to sleep, I challenge you to set aside your worries about tomorrow and simply whisper that ancient prayer, Lord, let Your face smile on me. That is the first step to unlocking more joy than money can ever buy in 2026. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, even as I was speaking just now about the promises in Psalm 4, about the joy that You give, if we would just seek Your face, I was reminded of Jesus' teaching. When He said, seek first His kingdom, Your kingdom, and Your righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you as well. In the context there of Jesus' teaching, He was talking about how we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. We shouldn't worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear, because You know what we need, and You will meet our needs if we seek You first. And so, Lord, help us put You first in this new year. Help us to remember that You are there, that You are smiling on us, that we are worthy of Your love and Your presence and Your favor. And so, God, I just pray right now that we would pursue a deeper relationship with You first, knowing that You have promised a greater joy than money could ever buy, and You have promised peace and a security that the world cannot give us. And so, Father, we thank You. And we ask You to help us do that, to commit to that, knowing, believing, and speaking, Father, that we are worthy and that we know that we know that You are willing to smile on us even now. And so we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I want to thank you for spending just a little time with me today. And would you please leave me a comment to let me know how David's request for God's smile has maybe shifted your perspective. If you found this teaching helpful, you might also enjoy my message called Your Praise is a Weapon Against Adversity. And you can click the link you're going to see on your right in just a minute. But before you do, if you know someone longing for better times, I hope you'll share this message with them. Remember, your tongue has power. Use it for good.